Everybody, welcome to Magic the Amateuring. It's episode 163.
That's a lie.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
What do you mean?
I mean that you're lying about what number episode it is.
What number is it?
It's 163.
What did I say?
You said 163.
Megan, why are you being so contrary with me today?
You know, it's Monday. I just feel, I'm in a mood.
You have a case of the Mondays? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
I have a case of the Mondays. I'm pulling a real Garfield over here. Someone bring me lasagna. Garfield does not talk like that.
Megan, if you wanted lasagna, all you had to do is ask.
What? I didn't have to be mean?
No. This is a lesson you've learned today.
I thought that only mean people got lasagna.
You catch more flies with lasagna than with being mean. I think that's the saying.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, everybody, on today's episode, we have a really cool episode for
but
you today,
you
actually.
Murder flies with vinegar?
Yeah, actually, you do.
So
you straight kill them.
Yeah. So it seems like the saying you catch more flies with honey than with vinegar is a misleading statement, because you would use those two different substances.
You
with
catch
two
more,
different...
but kill less.
That's true.
Notably.
But what if what I was trying to do was kill them?
Megan is having a bad day, everybody.
Anyways, bring me lasagna.
This is a great episode. We've got a special guest on the show today who's be showing up later.
Absolutely.
Mike Linneman, a.k.a. Vorthos Mike on Twitter, will be here to talk to us about a host of different things.
Yes, it is delightful.
We're going to talk about artists in magic and about paying for signatures and whatnot at events, as well as some lore stuff. We're going to talk about the mending. And if you don't know what the mending is, welcome to the club.
Yeah.
I didn't really know what it was before today.
I finally Googled it today.
Yeah.
After wanting to know for a long time.
So we're saving you your fingers some hard work.
Sometimes you just have to delay the gratification of knowing a fact.
Wow. That sounds real sexual.
What? What? What about any of that? Okay, fine.
Okay, I realize it now.
All right. Sure.
We're also going to talk about spoilers or preview cards for Shadows Over Innistrad. We got a deluge of them today.
Yes.
A veritable waterfall.
A thunderstorm.
I wanted to talk about some exciting news, too, before we began our show. We've hit a mark on Patreon. Another reward level has been unlocked!
What?
I should say unleashed.
Yeah.
I don't know why I would say unleashed over unlocked, but...
Well, because we're going to put a +1/+1 counter on it.
Yes.
And it's not going to be able to block.
We are now required by law to make you new episodes of My Roommate is a Planeswalker.
Oh my goodness. Everyone can get on YouTube and criticize our terrible acting again.
Yeah.
How delightful.
Oh my God. I forgot about that nightmare. It's going to happen all over again.
Oh, it really is. And I threw away that shirt that I was wearing.
And you have red hair no longer.
That's very true.
I chopped off my hair.
Well, that's okay.
I could get a wig. True. So thank you to everybody on Patreon who has supported us over the years / months that we've had Patreon. And now we're going to make some new content for you online. My Roommate is a Planeswalker will be coming back.
Going to be awesome.
And for everybody who hasn't supported it yet, please consider it. It is a wonderful way to show us that you appreciate the show and help us continue to do the show.
Absolutely.
And we really thank everybody who's supported so far. Thank you, everybody. It's been great. By the way, Megan, did you know that our podcast is available as a video cast?
Yes.
It is.
Wait, what?
Yeah. I'm video recording us right now.
That's creepy.
It is in a way. Especially since I didn't tell you.
Yeah.
But they were normally available on Fridays. Well, guess what? We're bumping it up a day, Thursday.
What?
They will now be available on Thursdays.
That's
thanks to the professor.
Yeah.
Do you hate all days of the week, Megan, or just Mondays and Thursdays?
Well, until I get some lasagna, it's all of them.
All right. Professor is going to move it up to Thursdays, so you have one day less to wait to see our lovely / terrifying faces.
I just need to say something.
What?
It started out as a joke, but the more times I've said the word lasagna, the more I've grown to want lasagna right now.
You guys, Megan's hungry. Support her on Patreon. Poor Megan.
Man.
Shadows Over Innistrad previews.
That's right, everybody. There have been some new cards that came out today, and a couple of articles on the Mothership Daily MTG. So they have previewed all of the mechanics now that we're going to see.
So exciting.
Ooh, so Maria, we're going to see the return of double face cards.
Double face cards. Don't call them flip cards. That's something else.
That's right. We've confused it many times in the past. Yes. Double face cards. One thing on its front, another thing on its back, exactly like a person.
One that was spoiled was Elusive Tormentor, which I think is a really interesting card.
Absolutely.
Two black for a 4/4. I mean,
yeah,
it's a good solid cost there. It's a rare, so you're not going to see it around that often. Creature Vampire Wizard, one colorless, discard a card, colon, transform Elusive Tormentor. And what does this Tormentor turn into? Nothing but Insidious Mist. Which
it's
I think
so
is
vampire-like, right?
Yeah, it is. Into an elemental creature. It's an 0/1. What? Why would you want to transform it into that? Well, let me tell you. It has hexproof and indestructible. It cannot be blocked, and also it can't block. Whenever Insidious Mist attacks and isn't blocked, which is all the time, you may pay 2 and a black if you do transform it. So really you're attacking with a 4/4 unblockable hexproof indestructible.
Yeah, absolutely, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Also, you may be thinking, wow, oh my goodness, paying one and discarding a card, that is a pretty steep cost.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I mean, discarding cards, why would I want to do that? Well, Maria.
Why, Megan?
It's because madness is bad.
Madness.
Madness cards, they had to rework the phrasing on them a little bit, but basically the way madness cards work is that they have, a cost on them, a regular converted mana cost like any other card, but they also have a madness cost, which means that if you discard that card, you can pay its madness cost instead and cast it for that. And
yes,
its madness cost is usually much cheaper.
So an example of this is a card that was previewed today, Just the Wind, which sounds like a fart. It's 1 and a blue, instant, return target creature to its owner's hand. Just a solid card.
Yeah.
Always would play this
Great.
Card. Madness cost, blue.
Yep.
So I love this card because think about flip cards. I just did it again. Double face cards.
Yeah.
If a card is transformed or whatever on the battlefield, boop, back in your hand for 1 blue as I discard and do something else or whatever.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You do have to, you have to have enablers for discard, like this insidious vampire friend.
Yeah.
Whose name I don't remember.
It is Sheila. Sheila.
Oh, Sheila.
Elusive Tormentor.
Elusive Tormentor. Like that you have to have enablers that make you discard. And there also are, we haven't seen them in this set yet, but there are, have been in the past when madness was a mechanic, creatures that have madness. And if you, at instant speed, have an instant speed discard, like this Elusive Tormentor, you can play that, you can discard that creature card and pay its madness cost.
Oh, sick.
And it's like, you can do that at instant speed. It doesn't look at, I can only be cast, when you would cast a sorcery. You can do it anytime.
That's awesome.
It's pretty cool. I'm super excited about the return of madness.
I think most people, madness is the number one thing they're excited about.
It's going
to
be crazy.
I mean, it leads to lots of crazy things happening during combat, playing on somebody else's turn, which is something, you always like to do.
And having, drafting again, it's like drafting enough madness cards and also enabling cards, stuff like that. Very cool.
Synergy. Mm. I can feel a synergy. All right, Megan, here's a card I'm also really excited about. Just want to touch on quick because it's so dang cool. It's called Thing in the Ice, which the professor noted was what he thought it sounded like when he forgot the name of the card.
Yes. Thing in the Ice.
1 and a blue for an 0/4 creature. Yes. Horror. Defender. Okay, not exciting.
No.
Thing in the Ice enters the battlefield with 4 ice counters on it.
Brr.
Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, remove an ice counter from Thing in the Ice. Then, if it has no ice counters on it, transform it, and it turns into da 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 a 7/8.
Awoken horror. And it returns all non-Kraken creatures
to their owner's hands.
Yeah.
Sick. It's a Kraken, obviously. A Kraken horror.
All non-horror creatures. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Krakens have to get out of here, but horrors can stay.
Okay.
So, when we were talking with Mike just a little bit ago, we were talking about Merit Lage.
Yeah.
And this kind of card is one of the ones that makes people think, like, maybe there's something going on with Merit Lage, because she was imprisoned in ice in Cold Snap hence the Dark Depths type card. And this set has had like several hints like this that are kind of like around the ocean, and that's that never was really Innistrad's thing before,
right?
And ice, and like being awoken from the ice. So it's like, oh, is this maybe like maybe that is actually hinting?
I know.
At old Merit Lage there. So
really exciting.
Could be.
So another new mechanic we're gonna see here. Keyword. What is it?
Delirium.
Delirium.
Yes. And delirium is something that looks at the cards in your graveyard. So it's not always, you know, it's not the same ability with everyone. Like madness, right? There's always going to be a madness cost,
yep.
But it means the same thing. Madness means you're discarding it and you can pay that cost.
But delirium means different effects.
Exactly. Based on if you have four or more different card types in your graveyard. So in this case of, what's this card, Maria?
Well, I like Soul Swallower, personally.
Okay, let's hear about it.
Two green for a 3/3 creature, worm with a U, trample, obviously. Delirium. At the beginning of your upkeep, if there are four or more card types among cards in your graveyard, put three +1/+1 counters on Soul Swallower.
So in that case, you know, you're getting counters. It looks at it during upkeep. There's also Reaper of Flight Moonsilver.
Now that is a mouthful.
Yeah, it really is.
Yikes. Okay.
So I was like wondering about the wording of this, but yeah. I guess Flight Moonsilver is kind of like maybe an organization that Crazy Avison started.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Three, white. 3/3 angel. Flying delirium. Sacrifice another creature. Reaper of Flight Moonlight gets +2/+1 until end of turn. Activate this ability only if there are four or more card types among cards in your graveyard. Mm-hmm. Yikes, so, that's going to be like, you got to remember this when you're drafting. You need four.
Yeah.
You need, that's a lot.
Four is a lot. So there's lands, which we do have a previewed card that's sort of like Evolving Wilds, but it can
but
also
better?
Tap for colorless.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely betterless. So it can either tap for colorless, or you can pay to tap and sack it, and you can go find a basic land.
So land, creature, instant sorcery, two different things.
Enchantment. Planeswalker, artifact.
Okay.
I believe those are all of them, but I might be wrong.
Chicken? You're forgetting chicken.
Thank you. I always forget the card type chicken.
I'll tell you one card Megan wants to forget.
Maria, don't say it.
Oh. I can't even say the name of it.
Isn't it just like magnifying glass?
Yes.
Oh.
She hates the art so much because it's rightfully so. It's disgusting.
It is.
Somebody's growing an eye on their shoulder.
Literally. Oh, you can't even describe it. Maria, you don't even know how many times I turned and I looked at my shoulder today. I have like kept touching my shoulder.
Are
I'm
you
doing
serious?
It now. You said it.
Oh my God, she's having a real episode, and it's live on the air.
It's terrible.
Can I at least tell them what it does?
Yeah, fine.
It's three colorless artifact, tapped, add colorless, four tap, investigate. And investigate is sort of a new thing.
Uh-huh.
All right, it means put a colorless clue artifact token onto the battlefield with two, sacrifice this artifact, draw a card. So we're making a lot of clue tokens, which I think is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not doing anything else in the game, pay two, go draw a card. Great.
Yeah. They've also been hinting that maybe clues will do something else.
Yes, they have. They kind of hinted at that maybe artifacts matter.
Yeah.
And that was very exciting to me. So.
Aww.
Okay, I'm away from it now, okay?
I seriously don't know what I'm going to do. Like, I think the only thing I can
never
do...
Never play that card. I don't think it's that good.
I can never look at that card again. And maybe 20 years from now I'll recover.
Wow. So we've already figured out Megan's grossest card in the set, I think.
I know that there's going to be tons of, like, you know, it's like zombies.
Tooth Collector's pretty disgusting.
And horrors. But Maria, like... I have such a visceral reaction to that card.
I mean, like you mentioned today, it was kind of like me and Gainsay. I did not even play Gainsay because I hated the art so much.
It's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this could be a limited mana sink. Like, this is actually the type of card that I would probably play
in
one
blue,
of.
Yeah.
But I'm going to bring permanent markers with
me. And cover it up.
And scratch out that part of the card.
Oh my God.
I think I'm being serious right now.
Wow.
I can't look. I keep touching my shoulders.
There's no eye there.
Oh,
Megan, there's
you.
An eye.
Maria!
She literally just hit me. That's the hardest you've ever hit me on this show.
Oh, that's the worst.
Okay, we'll move on. We're moving on, Megan, from your trigger. All right, Farbog Revenant. It's coming at you. 2 and a black for a 1/3 Creature spirit. It has a new keyword. Ooh. Ready?
Yes.
Skulk.
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 And skulk means this creature can be blocked by creatures with greater power. It has lifelink.
It's pretty cool.
So I like that card.
I like it. I like it a lot.
People are like, ooh, you could play infect with this bad boy.
Oh, yeah. If you could give things skulk.
Yeah. And so people are wondering if there'll be cards that give skulk. Like that there was somebody who was like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if it was like -1/-1 enchantment that you put on something and it gave it skulk.
Ooh, that would be cool.
It's kind of neat, huh?
Maybe we'll see something like it.
So I hope we do. It's kind of neat. Mm-hmm. So yeah, those are some of the new cards previewed today.
Absolutely.
It'll be tomorrow if you're listening to this podcast when it comes out.
Yeah, also, we haven't talked about... So there were...
You mean yesterday?
Over the weekend, there were several...
Yes.
There were
GP
several...
GP Detroit.
At all of the GPs last weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
There were puzzle rooms
that
people
cool.
could play and escape from, and they got preview cards.
Yeah.
But the cool, I think the one that we really need to address is obviously Avacyn, who went crazy.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know, on her front side, she's her normal, Avacynian self. You know, how much she costs? 5, right?
3 white, 4/4
flying.
Vigilance.
Yes. Ooh, flash flying vigilance.
And when she enters the battlefield, creatures you control gain indestructible and end of turn.
I mean, just a bomb sure. mythic right there.
Yeah.
And, you know, she looks like herself. You know, she's chilling.
Hanging
she's
out.
She's trying to protect everybody. She's like, hey, I'm here to watch out for y'all.
But when a non-angel creature you control dies, transform her. At the beginning of next upkeep, she turns into 6/5 Avacyn the Purifier.
Oh, and she don't got mad.
Yeah.
Or went mad.
When she transforms, she deals 3 damage to each other creature and each opponent.
Whew.
Wow.
I mean, just right there.
That's sick.
That is.
She's gone
sick.
Bad. You guys, she's not protecting you anymore. She's purifying.
She's real mad. Quite angry.
Yeah, scary.
And yeah, she's like, and like her feathers are all tipped in blood now.
Yeah, we talked about on a previous episode how Avacyn was kind of like the protector of the people and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now
she was
just downright
Sorin's creation.
Murdering.
Yep, meant to keep the balance. Now she's a.
What turned her crazy? That's the real question.
Yeah. Maybe we'll have to investigate some clues.
You know what,
to
Megan?
To find out.
I bet we will. Speaking of GP Detroit, just briefly.
Yeah.
Eldrazi didn't win.
But it did. Okay, but did you see that?
Yes.
Out of 6 finalists across 3 GPs, it was 5 Eldrazis,
I mean,
believe.
In the top 8 of GP Detroit, the collected company deck was the only one that wasn't blue-white Eldrazi.
Yep.
No, one was red-green Eldrazi. Anyway, they're all Eldrazi except for him, but he won.
I mean, good job that guy.
Yep. It's just kind of funny.
Oh, doing the Lord's work.
Yep.
Out there.
Oh, boy.
And, yeah, in other news, that deck is fair and balanced.
Yeah.
Eldrazi.
I smell a ban. Ban, by the way, a type of deodorant, so you could smell it.
You could literally smell ban.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. We're here with Mike Linneman, otherwise known as Vorthos Mike, and we're here today to chat about an issue that rocked Twitter and Reddit.
It rocked it.
It rocked it the other week, which was artists talking about charging for signatures at Grand Prix and other events.
Yeah, welcome, Mike. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you for having me. This is my visit number 2.
Yes.
Right.
Mike's been on the show before. If you want to look him up, he was an episode way when we were a baby show.
Yeah.
And we talked all about Magic the Gathering art. It's really interesting conversations. Mm-hmm. And also, notably, one of our longest shows, because we also had an interview with Noah Bradley on the show.
That's
the
right.
Same episode. We really crammed stuff in back in the day. So you can go to magicthematuring.com and just go to the search at the bottom of the page and search Mike, and you'll find it.
Perfect.
Or Noah. Or art.
Nor Bradle, as they always spell his name wrong.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they always do. It's always Bradle. It's great.
What? How is that? Like, that's not even a name.
There was one of the books he was in for an art annual, and they said, by Noah Bradle. So now there's a hashtag about
great.
Noah Bradle.
Okay, cool.
All right.
So, Megan, explain this issue.
So, it's basically that simple. Specifically, Noah went on, I believe it was on Reddit, and was talking about how he's going to start charging $1 per signature on cards at Grand Prix. Just because otherwise, you know, or artists spend a lot of money usually to travel. A lot of it is at their own expense. And just trying to recoup some of those costs is sometimes really difficult. Like, yeah, they're also selling merchandise, but the biggest commodity really that they have there is usually their signature. Yeah, and surprisingly, there were a lot of people who thought that...
Surprisingly, Megan, this is Reddit.
I know, shocker. That's true. Surprisingly.
Quote, unquote.
There were a lot of people who didn't believe that artists should charge $1 per signature. So, Mike, you've talked about this before. You said that you've been a proponent of it for a long time, of charging for signatures.
I've been talking about this for 5-6 years, probably, give or take. So, coming out of the recession... there wasn't really a large artist contingency of people coming to GPs and cons consistently. Like now you can see Steve Argyle or RK Post. You know, if you go to a couple GPs, you'll see these guys. It didn't used to be like that. It used to be regional hubs. You go in the Northeast, you might see Lars Grant West. If you go to around Seattle, you might see, you know, Mark Tadine and so on. But then whenever they had those every other year, it was such an exciting thing. You'd buy a print, you'd get some signatures, you'd throw down a 20, you know, paper stacks, whatever. I never don't get to see this guy.
Paper stacks.
You know, you just, you know, dropping faces. But
you're so much cooler than me, man.
You make it hail with dollar coins, actually. But once GPs got more common, and artists got to go to these a little more often, people started buying prints less. And that seems like a minor thing. You know, you're not going to spend $10, $20 in a print. But for an artist, you know, you might bring paper of prints. You pick a big old stack and they're heavy. You got to bring them back with you. They might get damaged in transit. You lose that money. So you needed to find other ways to have revenue. So I said, well, why don't you guys charge for signatures? If you go to a baseball show, you charge for signatures. You go to a comic convention. They don't always charge you for a signature, but you have to charge to get in. Whereas GPs now, you walk in with some gummy bears, you can sit down, have a great time for 3 hours, and you spend $0.
I mean, any 3 hours I spend with gummy bears is a great 3 hours.
You can just sneak in whatever you want. I could bring in Milk Dud under my arm with a dog into a convention center. What are they going to do? He's an anxiety dog. Don't worry about it. But now, since they had that, I said, you know, what if you guys charged $1 a signature, maybe $1 a playset? People come in with a deck. They might bring in 60 cards if they're all the same artist, which never happens. But it would prevent the people dropping the long box and say, sign all my cards, Chris Rush. And he's like, dude, there's a line. I can't sign 400 cards. I got stuff to do. My hand is going to hurt. So by having a cost involved, then it would put people less. They would definitely choose which ones they love the most and then have those in there, or even a commander deck where you're like, I got to get these three and those three and those three. And at the end of the weekend, you spread some money around, everybody happy. Wasn't really an issue because it was suggested back then. Last 2 years, it's now become, please give a tip to first 10 are free. And then I'm going to charge $1 each after that. And most people are pretty okay with that. The problem is that when people come in there, it's very rarely 12 because there's a line. If you see Therese Nielsen and she has a line of 40 people, you're not going to put down 10 cards. You're going to call all your friends saying, hey, I'm going to a GP. Do you got some for your cube? Do you got that sweet grandmother art that I need to give to my own grandma? Do you want it signed? And you just start collecting them and you have a pile. So artists started to see that and say, you know, you're not buying other stuff. You're not buying my art book. You're not buying my print. I need to make a living. Could you have a suggested tip box? Now that's gone away and said, what if we do $1 each? What happens? And thus far, it's been largely uneventful. Over the past about year and a half, no one's noticed nor cared. What changed in about 6 to 8 months ago is a couple of artists put $2 a card. $2 a card.
I didn't notice that either.
There's about 3 to 4 artists from, you know, old-timey magic, Legends time. They're all run by one agent. He's actually a really nice guy. Really wants to make these guys that have a good time, have money in their pocket when they leave, right? But $2 a card is all of a sudden a playset is $8, two playsets $16. And if you're going to an ATM, you get 20s. So you now do a 20 And really, you only get like 6 cards signed out of it. And that's kind of crappy. Because then you think, what if they go to 3? What if they go to 5? What if it's 10? What would that mean? Currently, right now, 2 is about the standard for the highest. Most people, it's 1. Up to, you know, 10 cards, whatever. If you buy a playmat, they don't care. They're like, yeah, sure. You want me to sign it? I'll do some cards too. But one artist does 250. Is the only artist to do it. Her name's Rebecca Gay. Very, very popular. Crazy good. Path to XL promo. Awesome. Ooh. The thing is, you have to buy 25 of them at a time. Or 20 of them at a time. So she'll do 20 of them, $2.50 a piece. You have to pay $50 to get her signature. In any recommendation you'd want. So by artists, by players seeing this, they're like, you know, you're getting paid to come here. You're getting put up. You know, you're having a great time. You're selling products. Why are you charging me?
Question. Every artist isn't paid to come to a GP.
That's the issue. People don't understand that the only ones that are usually the guest artists. If you went to GP CTAC, it was Nils Ham. They brought him in from Germany. You could tell by his accent, it was amazing. He's got the strongest accent. It's super fantastic. And then, you know, the Therese Nielsen, John Avon, Noah, whenever he's in Greenland or Antarctica or wherever the crap he goes from week to week, traveling all over the world with his girlfriend. Other than those sort of people, they put him up, give him like a hotel. Sometimes they give him like, oh, we'll help you out with a meal or two. We'll play a dinner. We'll give you a free booth, which is now a perk to them. Because other places, you go to a comic convention, you have to pay for your space.
Oh, yes.
Like $250, $500, whatever. So, like, we'll give you a free space. If you're a local person, we might pay mileage. So then it's like, well, I'm not getting paid $100 to $500 for showing. I got to make that up. If I'm there for 6 hours one day, 10 hours, 8 hours, it's 24 hours of work. I need, you know, $20 an hour. That's $500. How am I going to get $500 here? And signatures are the way they have to do that, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I think this all, you know, kind of really bubbled up, as Megan said at the beginning of the segment, on Reddit when Noah announced he would be charging $1 per signature, and he was going to be at GP Detroit. And is that where he was going to be doing it? No?
I don't remember off the top of my head.
Melbourne?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And people are like, hey, I don't know, I'm waiting in line, like, my time is valuable, I'm coming to see them, let me tip or whatever. And there is a lot of arguing happening, even on our Twitter account. Megan, yep, really got into it.
Hollering. Hollering.
But I think the truth of the matter is that tipping is awkward and not always done by people. Like, honestly, I've seen a lot of people go up to artists and not give them anything for signing, I don't know, a stack of cards. And that kind of hurts to watch. And if we can do something that kind of makes sure that that does not happen, I think that's a good thing. And especially if an artist, I mean, an artist knows what their time is worth. Artist is free to set, I think, their own price for however valuable it is to them to provide their signature. And I think that's a great thing that artists are now feeling brave enough to do that. And if they can make some more money, I think that's fantastic, because I believe in supporting artists. And if we can do that, hey, the world's going to be a better place.
I'd like to think that as doing so, you know, don't be the person that comes up, drops your cards off, and just pieces out. Like, of anything, if you're going to put a couple bucks down, maybe you only have a couple cards, maybe you got a big old fat stack. Really, that time you get is an experience. We can look at it now and all the people that got to sit down with Chris Rush for like 30 seconds, maybe a minute if you have a bigger pile, and just say, can you tell me a story about how you made the plane symbol? Can you tell me what was going through your mind when you made this? That time probably is more memorable than that second win that you had for the day, for that match. Or, you know, you might have a bad beat story, but really, when you get to talk to an artist that all of a sudden is taken away from us, that's gonna be your memory of that event. So when people come up there, really take your time to say, you know, I love the crap out of this. It won me 2 or 3 games, you know, met my girlfriend or whoever by using this thing in a proposal, shenanigans. Like, that sort of thing is really that 10 years down the line, you get to say like, oh yeah, you teach your kids to say like, I'm gonna bring you now, and you get to meet your coolest person and have them sign your coloring book or whatever you gotta do. And I'm slowly seeing it with parents bringing kids to say, like, you got that theme deck, remember? And hopefully in a few years, it just becomes a new normal, and this is the last outcry of this. Because for people in the Vorthos community, this issue was over, like, 2 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I think sometimes you have to think of like the magic community as a whole, and then the Vorthos community, and then the magic art community.
We're like the super niche, like wizards with the books in line, be like, sign this quotation when they talk about Karn, you know? Like, they're totally that people where we look at the art and be like, did you see the squirrel in the corner? They're like, what squirrel?
I know the squirrel on a Johnny.
A Johnny?
Yeah.
Secret squirrel. There's another card that had a secret squirrel in this set, wasn't it?
There's actually been a lot of squirrels hidden.
A lot of secret squirrels, you guys.
You guys, I didn't even know. I knew about the Ajani squirrel, but I didn't know that secret squirrel
was a thing.
There's an
Andu creature. There's a squirrel.
It might be a chipmunk. Now it's going to bug me.
I think the one in Ajani is a chipmunk.
Could be a ground squirrel. I don't know. We'll look it up.
Yeah. Okay. I'm okay with any of like that family of creature.
Red squirrel, rodent. Totally cool.
Yep, exactly. Like
flying
chipmunk
squirrel. If an artist can put a flying squirrel in for me, I will be the happiest person in the entire
that would be
world.
Awesome.
Just like in some kind of forest scene, like leaping in between corner. Trees. That would be amazing.
When they go to full art, you can see it in the corner.
Yes.
Need that.
Yep. So anyways, I think we just kind of wanted to take a moment to say like, hey, if you're going to these events and you're getting cards signed, I think for me, the point of it, like, at least the way I approach it is like, hey, if you're not willing to put down a dollar for this signature, what is it worth to you? Like, why are you doing it if it's not even worth a dollar to you to help further someone who's pursuing, like, being a professional artist?
A hard career.
Is so difficult.
Yikes.
And it means so much to support someone as they're doing that. And if you're getting that card signed, like you said, like, it's an experience. And you're going to have those cards for, you know, as long as you choose to. You might have them forever. And so, like, why would that not be worth a dollar to you? At least.
Yeah.
And if you want to, you could probably get a free selfie. They're very friendly about it. Post something on your Facebook page.
Exactly.
Whatever.
Just don't feed them.
Because if you feed them, they'll bite your fingers off.
You know, actually, I heard that some artists like to receive wine.
What?
Yeah, there's a couple that if you bring like a bottle of wine or a coffee, they freak out. They get super excited.
Yes.
I mean, if I was an artist, that would be greatly appreciated.
I would second that.
I will sign your bottle of wine.
Especially the coffee thing.
Yeah.
If I feel like anyone that really appreciates coffee, I can fully support in their appreciation of coffee.
If you don't do the sleep-in special and you see an artist there and you say, hey, would you like a coffee? I'm sure you'll get like 80 signatures. No problem. They don't even care. They're like, $4? Sure, just do it.
Do it. Yeah. We need this.
Need this.
It's 7 a.m.
My goodness.
I was up till 4.
When we were working GP Houston, I did not get up in enough time to get coffee. And I, like, 10 a.m. rolled around and I was like, I would fucking kill someone for a coffee right now.
I will stab.
Yes.
I remember I brought you a little.
You brought me a bagel in a bag.
A bagel in a bag.
Great.
A bagel
and then, like,
in a bag.
Someone came around and was like, oh, I'm going on coffee run. And I was like, you're my fucking hero.
That would be a great thing for GPs. Have someone come through with like condiments, concessions. Who needs a coffee? Coffee
here. I'm telling you. Have you heard my idea for a booth at a GP? It sells. And I list deodorant, because sometimes I'm just like, I really need that right now.
We've all been there.
Yeah.
It sells, what else does it sell? Like Sharpies, so you can go get stuff signed if you forgot your Sharpie. Yeah. It sells just anything that you would maybe need. Oh yeah, pizza rolls. It sells pizza rolls. For sure.
Pizza rolls are the shit.
And...
Oh, wait, my favorite question that I think we've ever gotten was someone from the UK emailed us and was like, what are pizza rolls?
Oh,
and we were
have you lived? Have you lived?
I know. And the answer is they have not. I'm going to, if I move to England, that's going to be my legacy. I will have brought pizza rolls across the pond.
They'll be called like pizza crumpets or something.
Pizza crumpets. Pizza biscuits.
That's like a pizza cookie.
Pizza crisps.
Oh, yes. God.
Pizza chips.
Pizza fries. That's a thing.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's a thing. I feel like that's just like chili cheese fries. Oh, I said that. No, I want chili cheese
fries. Anyway, do the right thing, everybody. It's not only a movie. It's also what you should do when paying artists at GPs. So the next GP you attend, go up, say hi to your favorite artists, buy some things from them, make them happy. You'll be happy as well. Magic story time. Well, everybody, we're taking this moment to talk about something Vorthos related, story related, since we have Mike on the show and he knows everything about story and flavor and magic. And did I just oversell you? I think
most things, some things,
pretty true.
Fair enough.
Fair enough.
This is the thing that every time it comes up, I've been meaning to Google it for like a year. Do you know how sometimes you have things that you've been meaning to Google for a year, but you didn't do it?
Lots of illnesses that I'm sure I have.
How to make fondue.
Yep, exactly.
How do you do it?
Wait,
I don't
know. Cheese or chocolate?
Ooh, obviously chocolate.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Sexy time to... Like, how hot is it? What's too hot? I don't know.
I don't know.
What's too hot? That's the really, I think, the most important question that we're asking. So anyways, what the frick is the mending is what we're talking about today. Because it comes up so often, everyone's like, well, now that, like, after the mending, that's the phrase that happens all the time.
As you know, the mending happened,
..
And then
exactly.
You're like,
I just want to tell you, I Googled what's too hot, ? The first result is your Orlando guide to everything worth doing.
Shout out to Orlando.
Yep. All right, Orlando.
Keep it hot.
Mm-hmm. What's too hot? Not Orlando.
The mending.
Mending's way too hot.
So it'll come up in story a lot, what we're saying.
It comes up in the magic story. It comes up in fan fiction all the time. Tumblr loves it. Oh boy, they love it. The mending is it's a time to separate the old and the new. That's the easy answer to say it. Like, since new things happened, now we get to see sexy time Liliana or whatever.
So it's like pre-World War II, post-World War II.
Yeah, or like modernism, postmodernism.
Yes.
If you know what your art terms in there. And really, it's the only time that we can show a clear distinction of old school magic, new school magic.
Really?
And at the same time it happened, it's the time spiral block. So all the weirdness, it's the last set that we had Dominaria on an expansion set. And right after it, right after Future Sight, we got Lorwyn. So the Planeswalkers came in card form. So that's the separating thing.
So the Planeswalkers are post-mending.
Yeah.
The new Planeswalkers.
New Planeswalkers.
So okay. The Lorwyn Fives.
They are pre?
No. Post.
Oh.
Or post.
What was before the Lorwyn Five?
Oh, biscuits. Okay, we'll get into this.
Oh,
okay.
Goodness.
So there weren't they were
any,
the first.
Wait, no, there weren't any Planeswalker cards.
Well.
Oh.
Kind of.
Pre-mending.
Oh.
So, but there were pre-mending walkers.
Correct.
Okay.
So they're the before they call the you know, pre-mending walkers, and then after they're neo-walkers.
Okay, this sounds like an episode, a new Matrix movie.
It's a straight-up wizardry.
Neo-walker.
Or they called them Brady walkers, because Brady Dahmermuth was the creative director that ushered this forward.
Oh.
So if you ever see neo-walker or Brady walker, just think of Lorwyn forward.
Gotcha.
The ones beforehand weren't color aligned. So you've heard of Urza. I guess Nahiri was prior to, Sorin was prior to.
Meaning Nicobolas. They existed, but they weren't.
They existed.
Okay.
But they weren't like mono blue. Like Urza was all colors except black because there was a corrupting influence on him. He could use any color, any combination, and they were basically gods. They were basically living gods. They could do whatever, whenever, however.
So Nahiri was a living god?
Pretty much.
Hmm.
Not in the god sense of Theros, but basically when they encountered each other prior to the mending, they almost always killed each other.
I mean, kind of like, you know, when you put two ends of a battery that aren't friends next to each other, they repel.
Are you talking about magnets?
How do they work?
Did I say battery? Everybody knows that happens with batteries.
Like car batteries? I was looking around like, what?
It's so fucking hard. That's why it's so hard to put batteries into your remote control. They're just repelling each other the whole time.
The damn Wii U, I can't fit the thing in.
Exactly.
I was dead.
That's why you have to have the cover on them, because otherwise they just pop right out.
Batteries, magnets, potato, potato. Come on, you guys.
So they'd have these people, and they'd meet each other in the wild. They had books on them, you know, they're pre-revisionist books, the early ones, like Arena, that when these planeswalkers met each other in the wild, they all had artifacts. They had moxin and weird artifacts and crap with them that they tried to kill each other to get all of this extra ability to make mana because, again, they were gods. Any addition you could help would be huge. So they had to get away from that to be able to not only make the Planeswalker card, but also how can you tell a storyline with a near omnipotent godlike creature? It's like, I don't know, acne today. Like,
I loved Q in Star Trek. And he was omnipotent.
That's true.
And he was a great storyline.
But you only had one of him.
Yeah.
What if you had, you know, and I know that he comes from a planet of other Qs. But what if all of those Qs were constantly in the Star Trek story?
Okay,
that would be a
true.
Different show.
I don't want all Qs.
It would just be
exactly.
Funny, no sexy time, no helping, no cooperation, anything. So they had to sever that and say, how do we make these things mortal? How do we make them approachable? How can players be this...
Connect with this thing?
So they had to sever that. And in order to do that, they had to find a way to do it. And... they cleverly put in a couple back doors into the storyline to reset things. Now our new storyline is they're working together, they're a Justice League, I can be Jace, I can be whoever person. Before, no one really wanted to be Urza. No one cared, really. He was like this...
just part of the story.
He was just this dude that like blew crap up, and that was cool, I guess. But it didn't really interact with you much until they made like Jaya Ballard. And they made Joyra, that these, like, I want to be this person. They made legendary creatures of them in Time Spiral Block. And then they're like, crap, we need to make these that people can wear cosplay and they can be these people. So the Mending, at what the actual event is it closed all the time rifts that Urza originally made in, like, Urza Saga. And how these rifts came to be is that he had to go take... Karn, he made Karn the golem, he made him out of silver, had to make him go back in time to affect the Phyrexian invasion number one, okay? So follow me there. So he had to make Karn go farther back in time, because he could only make Karn go back in time 2 days.
Time traveling robot, got it.
Okay.
So he could only go back 2 days, so he had to make these time rifts to make him go farther back in time.
Okay.
Because Urza's saga isn't like a year-long, like, set, it's like millennia.
Well, it's a saga.
It's a saga, yeah. Right? So by doing that, it created these, like, temporal instabilities. Phasing is the mechanic that means that, basically. When it phases out, it's back in the day, not important. but an entire continent phased out. That's where Mirage comes from.
An entire continent?
Yeah, it just went, like, blah, God.
Peace,
like,
guys.
Teferi's like, all right, we're out. And then the Mending was them closing all these portals. And a couple planeswalkers had to give up their spark to close all the final portals because Dominaria was like the central... plane, and if it just gets destroyed, everything goes away.
Yeah.
So they had to close the rifts, close the portals. This time travel thing is impossible anymore, but yet jumping between planes is still possible, and planeswalkers were irrevocably changed because of this, became mortal. They can now die, and die easily. So during that time, a ton of planeswalkers died. I mean, a lot of them. If you heard about them before, they're probably dead. Because Nicol Bolas killed tons of them.
Nicol.
Aww.
Our boy. So there's still a couple hiding out, and if we ever return to Dominaria, we'll see which ones are still alive. Like, Teferi could still be alive. Jaya could still be alive. We don't really know. But it's a great discussion point to say who's still there, who are fan favorites, who can we relate to. But until we return to that, it's just kind of this time period of, like, AD or BC when, you know, our boy Jesus came and went, you know? And that's really what Vorthos really uses it for currently.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's how, right, that's how they ended up with Time Spiral, is because, like, all of these rifts, things were just getting sucked into the rifts and, like, put in any point in time.
And that's why we got Planar Chaos and weird color shifting, and Sarah Angel became this... male angel, which is weird, and blue, and all this weird stuff happened because of it. And Future Sight, we got to see some futures that might have happened, and some futures that will never happen. Steam Flogger Boss,
looking
our
at you,
boy.
Riggers.
Riggers
is going to happen. Can I tell you something?
Maria, that one got sucked into the rift. It's
Megan,
never coming back.
I'm going to make a prediction here on this show.
Okay, let's
and
hear
I'd like you to know that I am known for my correct predictions.
Yeah, but usually you stumble onto them. But
yeah,
go for it.
That's true.
But go for it.
Okay, so this one I've thought through. It was actually literally today when I had my brainstorm. Mark Rosewater has been asking people on Twitter, like, which plane would you like to go to?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, Pirate World or King Arthur World.
Corgi World, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, no,
I'd go to that one.
I'd go to Corgi World.
So would I. Yeah. King Arthur World, please. Okay, but also one of the options was Steampunk World. And I was like, if they're going to Steampunk World, which I would place my money on because it's very popular, there's going to be riggers there. No question.
And the theory is that also is, that's Chandra's original homeworld.
Yes.
What was it called? Kaladesh. Yes. Is going to be like the Artificer Steampunk World.
I think that would be a really cool plane to visit. We've talked about it on the show. Mm-hmm. And mark my words, riggers.
Just one. There's going to be one.
It's going to be a common rigger and he does nothing. And he's like,
contraptions are going to happen.
There will be a Steamflogger boss and there will be one card that has like contraption and rigger on it and that's it.
But I mean, assembling contraptions, that sounds so awesome and totally steampunk.
That sounds so, it just sounds weird,
I know, that's what I want. I love like weird, I want a weird thing to happen in Magic.
Fair enough.
I want to be able to have like four cards that I have to get in my deck.
Yep.
And I have to sack two and then like put them together.
Like Hedron Alignment. You guys, what is Hedron Alignment except a color shifted rigger?
Hidden rigger.
Contraption. Oh,
you guys were calling it a Hedron Alignment hidden rigger.
But it would be like easier and you can make different kinds of them, you know? And like, what if you could make them and it'd be like a fence and you had to attack the fence before you could attack your opponent?
What? I think you're just talking about creatures. What are creatures but a fence?
To me? Yeah. I guess I'm talking about a creature fence. And then like the opponent has to like do 5 damage to your fence before they can attack your creatures.
Yeah.
So you're asking.
So like walls.
Yeah.
So walls.
Like a wall?
Like walls.
Like walls.
Remember walls?
Yeah.
They were a thing.
Yeah. Well, I think I've gotten a little off base, but my main point stands.
Assemble the fence, i.e. contraption.
Contraptions will happen on Kaladesh. Thank you. That's all I have to say.
So really Steamflogger boss is just like a glorified contractor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see the alterations now.
Exactly.
He leads the union, I mean.
Yes, exactly. He's making sure everyone's getting a fair wage and getting breaks, okay?
I'm pretty sure he's whipping people in that art.
No, you're probably right.
But I don't remember, actually.
He's whipping them, and then later on they get a break.
Steam flogger. Okay.
Oh, he's totally whipping them. He's totally doing
yep.
it.
I mean, he's flogging. He's flogging.
Something's flogging
happening
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Well,
all right.
I just want to read this card quick.
Yep.
3 to red for a 3/3. Other rigger creatures you control get +1/+0 and have haste, so there has to be more riggers.
Yep.
Gotta make them quick.
If a rigger you control would assemble a contraption, it assembles 2 contraptions instead.
Man,
so excited.
This is weird. I wonder if someone just, when they were creating the set, someone just randomly typed text into that card box, or if they had a plan.
Oh, he had no plan.
Oh, I
Mark Rosewater. Yeah, he said he had no plan.
He just randomly typed it into the
box. Yes, but then he said, I will solve it. He said, I will solve contraptions before I leave Magic. So.
All right.
Well, they've said they'd never figure out Barry's land either, and then they made waste.
Yes. That's very
it's
true.
Possible.
That's very true.
Yeah. So what were we talking about?
I don't.
The mending.
We were talking about the mending.
Mending. But it's all past tense. It's
okay.
Ancient history. The only interesting thing that people have theorized is, what if this happened again?
So they became even more mortal?
Well, what if it happened again and other planeswalkers, a bunch of them died, so they had to come together and prevent it from being happened. That's where this Justice League, and there might be a Justice of Evil or whatever.
Oh, interesting.
And then they could either have it again or not. Players could vote on it, like Phyrexia, where they said Mirrodin Pyr or New Phyrexia, even though New Phyrexia was already being built. That sort of interaction could happen again in theory. I think it could be kind of cool to see like a brand new ton new planeswalkers.
Yeah. Mm. Ooh. I'm always for them killing off some planeswalkers.
Elspeth dead, Vents are dead.
I mean, like, we advocate on the show for entire planes being destroyed.
I mean, I was all for Zendikar just getting wrecked.
Yeah, so was I. Even though I love the land, the art, the full art land, so maybe I'm not.
Although I'm really behind people thinking that Nahiri is on Innistrad to just fuck it up because she knows it's what Sorin cares
She's
about.
She's so pissed.
She's so mad.
She's so pissed.
She's so mad. She's like, I'm not just going to get back at you. I'm going to tear down the plane you care about.
Whoa, that is revenge.
It's so angry that the playmat has her putting vampires in pillars. She made vampillars. She made vampillars. She was so angry. She's like, I'm going to call my contractor rigger buddy.
Whoa.
And
yes. Oh snap.
He's calling riggers in
I'm
this call, set.
I'm calling riggers. Nahiri is just like, probably a plant manager. They like, I need 2 pillars. But she's just furious, blew up a castle. She's like making weird Cthulhu things.
Question:
in the woods.
Why is she mad at Sorin?
She's mad at Sorin for a couple of reasons. Vranos at Twitter, Carrie Thomas, if you follow him, talked about this a little bit. In that, Nahiri didn't want them to stay on Zendikar. She wanted them to, like, put them anywhere else. Same with Nyssa. They said yes. The Eldrazers.
Yeah.
Said we can imprison him here, but do they have to be here? And Sorin's like, yup, and then just peaced out forever. Like, they got out, she went into a slumber, like hidden rock for like 1,000 years. It was very like never ending story. And then he disappeared and went off to do his own thing. He's like, things are good. So now she's like, I woke up and everything's blown up. Sorin, your ass is mine. I'm gonna blow up everything you love. I hate your face. I'm gonna blow up your family.
Wow.
It's like Interview with a Vampire when Louis goes in and kills all the vampires, like in that entire crypt, is basically Nahiri. And you can see it in some of the images that she's sparing nothing. The question we have now is she affecting the angels? Is she affecting the moon? What else is she doing by her scornful, evil behavior?
So she's a lithomancer, right?
She is.
Can you tell us, what exactly does lithomancer mean?
It's
you mance lifts.
She works with lifts.
Thank you, it's guys. Stone. You're both so helpful.
She's a stone person. She's a stone magic user. And lifts are like this type of stone.
Like in, you know, you see Stonehenge. Monoliths.
Yeah. Okay, thank
singular
you, guys.
Singular lifts.
So she magically manipulates rocks.
She can manipulate rock, which is like a 5-year-old's like dream. Like, dude, what if I could move all these rocks? And that's totally her. Like, she's like, okay.
I've never thought that.
So I totally did. I'm like, dude, I'm going to move them over that mountains real quick. I'm going to make them Minnesota. We don't got no mountains here.
Or someone was like, what if she could move the moon? What if she could move the moon?
I bet she can. I bet she can.
Yeah.
So this, before we let you go, I want to ask you, since you know Flavor, a lot of people are discussing what's going on in Innistrad. What is the evil power affecting that plane? Is it Emrakul? Is it something else? What's your thoughts?
Thoughts currently, it's probably an Eldrazi at some time. We don't know how recent it is.
Because another clue.
There are artworks that show the corrupting effect. The changes in angels would assume some sort of Eldrazi influence. The problem is it's easy to assume that it's Emrakul. I am not convinced. I think it could be a red herring, and this is where Merit Large comes into play.
Yes.
So before we started the show, I didn't even know who Merit Large was. Sounds like
Large.
Merit Large.
Lage.
Merit Large. Did I say L-A-G-E?
I said Merit Large.
I mean,
Merit Lodge.
She is large.
Yeah, and it comes from the card Dark Depths.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Where you can, you know, eventually get a 2020 indestructible.
Yes, with Vampire Hexmage, removes all the counters. Mm-hmm. Boom, you got a 2020.
Or Thespian Stage.
Yep.
Or
you'll see this card in Cube. So, you know, it was only ever a token. Maybe now it's going to be a card.
It could be, because it. Merilage left Cold Snap, if people even played Cold Snap and remember. It was a long time ago. Merilage left the plane, and we haven't heard since.
Interesting.
And the only creatures that can leave planes that aren't planeswalkers are Eldrazi.
Oh, so you're saying that it was an Eldrazi all along.
It could be changed to that, or there could be maybe 2 or 3 different types of squiddy weirdness creatures that can do this, and that the Eldrazi might be the first introduction into humans, wizards, goblins, Eldrazi, and then other creatures. Dungeons & Dragons does a really good job with discussing the astral plane and these different areas between worlds. Magic hasn't done that yet. And that's the one area that could really be expanded on in the future to say, what if we don't do one plane? What if we discuss in between the planes? What happens when they planeswalk?
In Between the Planes, great new podcast name.
In Between the Planes is also the space where everything in exile goes. So there's just a bunch of random, you know, like sheep and goblins
like
and
garbage
just like floating around out there. Everything you've ever Oblivion-striked.
Yeah, there it is.
Just floating between the planes right now.
Or it's in a pile. It's like a giant like stack.
It's like the giant trash island in the ocean. Except it's just between planes.
Space trash.
Exactly. Space island.
Island.
space junk. It totally is. Oh, so I hope to see that because that would be a fan
that
favorite.
Would be kinda
we
cool.
haven't had a resolution to that. Mm-hmm. Plus, it gives us the narrative of, oh, okay, Eldrazi's not over and we're going to be chasing Emrakul and we need more planeswalkers to kill her because, you know, we're not strong enough by ourselves. That's a cool narrative. That's a cool storyline. And they could, you know, Marilaj maybe might be easier, might be harder. Who knows? And I think that's a next level to, okay, we've seen the angels in the first set. They're angry. Is that it? Does it just end?
Or no.
The first set? What's going to happen in the next set?
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see. I hope it is that. I think that'd be great. So
yeah, I'm not sure if they're going to just figure out the clues and figure it out until the second set, do you think?
Or even, what if they don't what if they leave it with a question mark?
I think they'll figure out at least what Tamil is looking for.
Yeah.
Because there's been the symbols could be an Eldrazi tentacle thing, but all the characters are here. So what is there left to resolve?
Yeah.
Other than showcasing a new creature that fades to black, we go to the next scene, or they have to deal with it right away. And I hope that is that. I mean, that definitely makes those foil tokens of Merit Lodge from Cold Snap really valuable, like right away.
All right.
Everyone, go buy something. You heard it here, everybody. Go buy them up.
Get them right away. They were a promo. I mean, they're really hard to find now because people want them for cute.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I suppose so.
Anyways, well, that's super cool. And I personally, I'm rooting for something that maybe isn't Emrakul being on Innistrad right now. I would love for it to be something else because we just had all these Eldrazi.
Yeah, that's true. I missed Emrakul. That's true. I did. But...
I know, but like, save her for later. You know, you got your dose of Ulamog and Kozilek.
Yeah.
You know, just like, take a break. Let's see something else.
I mean, we want to savor the flavor a little bit right now. You don't put the full ramen packet in right away. You slowly put it in.
What? Really? I just dumped the whole thing in.
You know, I haven't had ramen in a long time.
Those are the days.
My life has really picked up.
Yeah, I've gotten so much better. Like,
exactly.
You get fancy ramen now.
Yes.
The soft ones. Ooh, changes your world.
Oh, man. There used to be, it's closed, you remember when Cafeteria was still a bar in Uptown?
Mm. We're getting real regional right now.
Anyways, there is a bar, and they had a happy hour where you could, for $3, get a giant bowl of ramen with 2 soft-boiled eggs in it. Oh, shit, it was good. I still miss
Sounds
it sometimes.
Like, that's super statehood forever, and I love it.
Oh,
man.
So good.
You guys moving to Minneapolis.
Anyways.
It's a great place.
Great specials. We'll talk about it at GP Minneapolis.
Yeah,
GP Minneapolis.
In May, the end of May. The last one
Memorial
before the
Day.
Season is over.
Yep.
So
looking
come
ahead
get your
that.
Planeswalker points. We'll be there.
We'll be there. I've already heard some early previews of some of the artists. There's some new people coming.
Excellent.
Who's going to be?
I can't reveal them yet.
All right.
But we have a couple. We have someone from out of the country.
Ooh.
Which is good. So someone new that's been in the area.
All right.
We're going to be, there's going to be a Vintage Artist Constructed thing, which is a Vorthos event. And we're going to be doing cubing everywhere. That
great.
Day. And there will be Wiener Ducks on site.
Aww.
Yes.
Diggs.
That's modern, right?
Huh? No, it's standard.
Oh, it's standard. Okay.
I wish it was modern.
I've got to get my boggles in order.
Yeah. Anyways, if you want to hear about those artists as that information is revealed, you can follow Mike at Vorthos Mike on Twitter.
You do a lot of good work in the Vorthos and the art community in Magic, and I'd encourage anybody to go follow Mike if they want to keep up on that stuff.
Tweets lots of great articles.
Yep. Writes lots of great articles.
Writes, yes.
Write
specifically
about
that you've written.
Usually that I've written, yes.
Yes.
You do an art review of every set.
I do an art review of every set where I talk about art themes, hidden things you can look on to, you know, improve your experience to say, like, here's the squirrel or whatever those things are.
That always improves my experience.
And I'll be actually writing 2 for this set, and one of them is going to be on simply the architecture.
Ooh, cool.
So we're going to be talking about
what
next, and coming up next week, it's going to be the Gothic architecture, what
cool.
to look for, different things you
wow.
can see from
flying
the
buttresses,
thing. Flying buttresses, rose windows. I'm going to go pretty in depth on it to show how Magic has dealt with it, and I think it'll be kind of fun.
Ooh, that's awesome.
This is the kind of detail you can read about.
Yes.
This kind of detailed knowledge.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Well, thanks for being on the show, Mike. Always a pleasure to have you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Anytime you need it, call me on over. We're not far away.
Double high five. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3.
Well, Well, everybody, we've had quite the episode this week.
We sure have. This was a great episode. Very, very varied.
Yes. Thanks again to Mike for coming on the
show.
Yeah,
he was great, wasn't he?
What a great guest.
Yep.
Really, do go check out his stuff. We highly recommend following him on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And he does some of, like, I think he does some of the best talking about magic art that there is to be done.
Yeah, I agree.
That dude just knows his shit.
Yeah.
And, yeah, writes great stuff about it.
So we'll be at GPDC coming up this weekend. Come say hi to us. Mm-hmm. We would love to meet you. And if we're playing you, please lose like a champion.
Yep.
Lose like a champion. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter at MTAcast. MagicTheAmaturing.com is our website. I'm horny_unicorny online.
I am ice cream socialist.
Stay cool and classy out there, everybody. And remember, the Eldrazi are sloopy and they're coming for you.